This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning to you. Happy Friday. I hope that it is a happy Friday. I hope that you are at the end of your work week and that you're looking forward to a good weekend. Mine will feature yard work. Oh, there's a shocker. Also some house cleaning, but that's okay because next week I've got a mini break of sorts with a few days off before things get crazy with football. And so I'll go through the weekend and clean and do the yard work and make sure it's all ready. But that's actually how I feel about it. Thanks for all of your tweets, your Facebook posts, especially those about my sweet Grammy Helen. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, we have been asking you, in light of what you've seen so far in the Stanley Cup playoffs, because we're two full days in, my gosh, we're two full days in with about 17 sudden death overtime periods, it feels like. And when we're not doing the sudden death thing, we're doing the late third period goal thing. So it's been amazing to start in both Toronto and Edmonton. And then you think about what's setting up for us in Orlando and how the Portland Trail Blazers and Damian Lillard have, in fact, followed through on their promise to not just play out the string in Orlando, and now we're set up for the NBA postseason as well. So we'll get to some of the details there. But find us on Twitter or Facebook. Which of these playoff series are you most jazzed up about? Even if you're one of those people that swore you would never watch sports again, don't die on that hill. There's a lot of good stuff going on here, peeps. So again, on Twitter or Facebook, our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. There's, like I said, a lot to get to, a lot of good nerd alerts that we're going to be able to share with you. I love that stuff, and it's going to make this hour fly by. Also, if you missed my conversation with former Ohio State linebacker and national champion Joshua Perry, he joined us earlier in the show, and we talked about the college football possibility in the spring. We also talked about whether or not it is possible for these athletes, and he's not that far removed from the atmosphere, whether it's possible for them to follow protocols and stay safe and do what needs to be done to get through a football season, whether or not it was the right call by the Big Ten. And full disclosure, he works for the Big Ten Network. So want to bring back a portion of that, which means we got to jam a bunch of stuff in before then. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Betts with a fly ball to right center. That one is well hit. It's got a chance and it's gone. A two-run home run from Mookie Betts. His fifth. The Dodgers now lead it 5-2, and they're playing home run derby against Chris Paddock. Betts drills one to deep left center field, way back, and that's gone! Holy Toledo! Betts' second home run of the night. The Dodgers, their fifth home run, and we don't even have an out in the fourth inning. 9-2. The 3-1. And Betts with a fly ball to left center field. Way back, and he has hit it out. Third home run of the game for Mookie Betts. He's got seven on the season. The route is on. The Dodgers, 11-2 on six home runs tonight.
Charlie Steiner on the Dodgers Radio Network. That was really for you, Boston, because I know you wish you could have players like Mookie Betts. Actually, I stole that from a TV reporter, TV anchor that I saw in Boston. He actually posted that with the video of Mookie hitting three home runs. Why can't we get players like that? Mookie Betts with three home runs for the Dodgers on Thursday night, the sixth time in his career that he has had three home runs in the same game. Here's where your nerd alert comes in. No one has ever had more three home run games in a career than Mookie Betts, Sammy Sosa, and Hall of Famer Johnny Mize. So he is now tied on Major League Baseball's all-time list for the most games with three home runs. And I suspect that he could likely accomplish this again. How about this? This is to drag you a little deeper into the numbers. Sammy Sosa needed 2,364 games to get those six games with the three home runs. Mize did it in 1,884 games. Mookie Betts accomplished that same feat in barely more than 800 games.
That's nerd stuff.
It definitely is nerd stuff, but thank you for accommodating me on this Friday morning. So Mookie Betts, Dodgers, they blast the Padres, and Mookie smiling around the bases. We don't know whether or not Joe Kelly was smiling because he's actually suspended right now and he's also on the IL. But you remember Joe Kelly. He loves to stir things up. Last hour, I called him the Draymond Green, the T.O. of Major League Baseball. This is what he loves to do, but he's actually explaining himself now. So let's go back to July 28th. It's the first time the Dodgers and Astros have faced each other in person since that 2017 World Series. I don't need to give you all the history. Astros stealing signs in 17. Dodgers believe they were the victim of that. Joe Kelly wasn't even with that team in 17, but he took it upon himself, maybe, to go a little high and tight and behind Alex Bregman and Carlos Correa with a few pitches going back to late July. Now, he was initially suspended 8 games. It turned into a 5-game suspension. It was reduced upon appeal. But he wasn't so grateful that he didn't decide he would air his feelings on the Big Swing podcast with Dodgers teammate Ross Stripling. Now, you may remember that when he and Carlos Correa were parting ways. So Correa had struck out on a breaking pitch by Kelly. Kelly was walking to his dugout. Correa was yapping at him. Kelly turns around and sticks out his mush and makes a crying face. And that was one of the things that Ross asked him about. Why the whiny face?
So I just was like, oh, boo-hoo. Like, ugh. When Carlos is chirping back at me, the boo-hoo face felt right because it just sounded like he was complaining. So I just was like, oh, boo-hoo. Like, ugh. So for me, it just sounded like a bunch of whining. And now I know exactly what my wife feels like. So I'm going to stop whining because I didn't like the whining, and now I know she doesn't like the whining. So that just felt right in the moment. It's just spur of the moment. It's not like a game plan for that kind of thing. It's a reaction. It was my interpretation of him acting like a child at that point. So I wanted to give him a little child's face.
So in the heat of the moment, without thinking about it, he reverts to his inner 10-year-old and goes, bleh. He did too. We put it all over our social media. It was definitely a gift that went viral. And so Joe Kelly, he explains the boo-hoo face, and I guess his wife should be happy about that. Although if that's the type of thing that he was doing before, oof, I'd be ready to smack it off his face. All right. So it gets a little deeper than boo-hoo face. He wasn't with the Dodgers in 17. He was with the Red Sox. But who was the manager of the Red Sox? Alex Cora. Cora, he believes, was turned into the scapegoat. He thinks that the Astros, instead of taking their punishment like men, found someone to blame. That being his friend, Alex Cora. And so, of course, he is holding that grudge because that's what Joe Kelly does.
My personal friend and a guy who I passionately love was a fall guy.
Yeah.
If I'm on the Twins, I'm mad that they cheated, but I could get over that because they know they cheated. Everyone knows they cheated. It's fine. That's completely fine. It's not fine to do it, but it's fine that we already know what happened. What's not fine is, like I said, is ruining someone's life to make yourself look better. That ain't fine.
So Joe Kelly is defending Alex Cora, who was his manager with the Sox going back to 17. And of course, Cora, sorry, I'm not laughing about Cora getting let go. trying to take him seriously, but Chris is making it very difficult. So the Red Sox let Cora go as this investigation report was you know, being handed down by baseball. And he was really the one that not only did the report finger as the ringleader, but he, at the time, was really the only one other than A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow who could get punished. Why? Well, because the players had immunity. And that's where Joe Kelly really takes exception.
You get immunity, and then you rat like a little bitch. That's the problem I have. And I don't think that's right. So the immunity works that way. You get to say whatever the f*** you want. You get to blast people. You can make stuff up. You don't have to make stuff up. You tell the truth. And then the people that take the fall are the people that deserve to take the fall. So right in that case, I want immunity right now so I could get my zero games.
Well, immunity for what? Are you planning on then admitting that you threw at Bregman and Correa on purpose? So, okay, that's why Kelly was going after the Astros. That's why it was personal to him, in case you were still wondering. Because a lot of people said to me, what's his issue? He wasn't even with the Dodgers then, who cares? But he says, hey, if I was with the Twins, if I was with the Rangers, if I was somewhere else, it wouldn't matter. They cheated. Okay, big fat jerks. But the fact is, his friend, Cora, took the fall. And he says Cora's now sitting in Puerto Rico with his family, and I'm sure he's still getting crap. My word, not his word. And so he's ticked off that the Astros had immunity and yet still pointed the finger at Alex Cora. Now, no doubt he's getting Cora's version of the story. And so it's very soap opera-ish. I said this earlier. It's like As the World Turns. And yet it's very delicious, too, because Joe Kelly is definitely not going to keep his feelings to himself. The other piece of this is the Dodgers piece. Okay, so he was... Maybe he was going after the Astros of his own accord. I still tend to not believe that. I still think this is something the Dodgers talked about. But either way, he also is defending his teammates. So Cody Bellinger, you remember back in February, pointed to the Astros. It's a fraud. Their World Series isn't real. Oh, and yeah, Jose Altuve is definitely wearing a buzzer underneath his jersey. And Correa came back at him and told him to keep his mouth shut, in a manner of speaking. And Kelly took that personally as well.
I don't talk to those guys, and I don't want to talk to those guys because they're not respectable men to me. What Correa said to Belly, Belly had all the facts. You don't tell my teammate to shut the f*** up and then spit at us during a pandemic. That ain't right. That ain't right. He's not looking out for the health of anybody doing that. He's going to get his own teammates sick doing that if he had the corona. Like, he'd get us sick. Like, that's just not right. So, like, I would always not respect them in that way.
Here's the thing about athletes like Joe Kelly, or forget, just, it doesn't even have to be athletes, family members, friends like Joe Kelly. You love them when they're in your circle and in your corner and in your dugout. But if they're on someone else's team, oy, not that guy again, not her again. They drive you crazy, but they're trying to get under your skin. So I mentioned Draymond Green. That is part of his brilliance, is he will get inside your head. Who's the one who blew in the ear of LeBron James? Lance Stephenson. Lance Stephenson blew in the ear of LeBron James and then became his teammate. These are guys that will use every tool they've got. They may not be as talented, but they are absolutely going to poke the bear, poke the bear, poke the bear, and they're going to instigate. And I still say that Kelly got a break on his suspension because Chris Young is a former pitcher who last pitched in 2017. So he had an empathetic ear, but honestly, who around baseball isn't even behind cover of darkness or under cover of darkness supporting Joe Kelly? Maybe not that part, but we were trying to practice that earlier. I think it's easier to imitate Joe Kelly's than it is to imitate Kawhi's laugh. No one has ever been able to do that. So it's beautiful. Joe Kelly on the Big Swing podcast with his teammate Ross Stripling. And all you had to do was put a microphone in front of him and let him go. But obviously Ross is loving it because Kelly's now on his team and he doesn't have to deal with him somewhere else. So therein is the mystery explained of why Kelly would go after the Astros, why it would be personal to him. Chris and I were talking about this earlier. We have a Hall of Flame induction in the offing at some point, and we have such good stuff. We've got everything from Cam Newton, they left me to die, to what else have we had recently that's so good? Joe Kelly, of course. Oh, there's just now with everything happening all at once, and there's a lot of people who are on edge. It's certainly been a year in which there's a lot of angst and anxiety and consternation. And so because of that, when people get a microphone in front of them, they very often tend to just spill it. Blech.
Mr. Unlimited.
I forgot about that. We actually can't blame that on the pandemic. He did that all by himself in 2018. Oh, yes. Thank you, Mr. Unlimited. Ooh, this is going to be a really good Hall of Flame induction. We'll probably do it before the month of August is done because it's great stuff. Okay, I'm going to try to be serious again now, though. We've got the 8-9. We call it a wrinkle. Some people call it a wild card, a play-in option, whatevs. We've got the two teams in the NBA that will square off this weekend to try to make it into the NBA postseason. And you earn a date with the Lakers. And we've also got some fantastic finishes in hockey yet again. And a playoff streak that was record-tying, and who knows when it will be replicated. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
.107-100 Brooklyn, minute and a half gone by in the fourth. Lillard, a deep three is good. Wow. The edge of the midcourt logo, he pulls up and knocks down a jump shot. McCollum up top for the Blazers. 8 to shoot. Top of the arc, one-on-one with Harris. Steps right, top of the key, jumper is good. Big bucket for C.J. McCollum. Trying to keep the Blazers alive with 53.4 seconds to go. It's Portland 134 and the Nets 130. The Blazers' season in the balance. LeVert with the ball in his hands. Down to 5 seconds to go. LeVert moving right. Now left. Step back. 20-footer. No good. And the buzzer sounds. The Blazers hang on. They are going to the playoffs with a 134-133 victory over the Nets.
I was confident the whole time, but even when we went down 10, I was like, I might have to start putting my head down and making something happen. We kept preaching the same thing. You know, we got to start getting some stops. If we don't get stops, we're not going to have a chance.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The masked up Zoom call voice of one Damian Lillard. Another 42 points despite a box and one. When was the last time you saw an NBA head coach go to a box and one? Fairly gimmicky defense. And yet that's what Jacques Vaughn did in the second half to help to spark the Nets rally. So they were down by 9. They came roaring back. They put together a 30-12 run against the Blazers. And from that point on, it was back and forth, back and forth. This was a fantastic game on a Thursday night in August in Orlando. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Chris Carino, the play-by-play voice of the Brooklyn Nets. This game went down to the wire. And Damian Lillard, yet again, had 42 points. This goes with the 61 he had in his last outing and the 50 in the game before that. So he is on quite a tear. But what he had said over and over is the Blazers are not showing up in Orlando to play out the string. We are going there to make the playoffs. And after a 6-2 record in the seeding games, well, they have at least earned a spot in this. We're calling it a wrinkle. Some fans are calling it a wild card. It's the matchup between the 8 and 9 teams in the West, but the NBA created this wrinkle in time, and now we'll see Portland take on Memphis. So the Grizzlies finally righted the ship. In fact, they got a pair of triple-doubles against the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday, and with that, Memphis secured a spot in the 8-9 wrinkle. And by Portland winning, Phoenix was eliminated. And so what a run for the Suns at 8-0 in the bubble. They really did themselves proud. And if you haven't seen or heard the locker room speech from Monty Williams after they finished up 8-0, definitely go find it. It's on the Suns' Twitter. It's brilliant. I mean, he's vulnerable as a man, as a coach, but also extremely proud of his guys. at that time, they didn't know if they would continue to play on, but Portland's win eliminated them. So Dame with a dozen points in the fourth quarter. And as I say, this one was brilliant all the way through the end. It was intense. It was great shot making back and forth. It was offensive rebounds. It was hustle. It was heart. It was desire. And Portland now has the chance. In fact, has the upper hand. So here's what happens this weekend. Coming up tomorrow, Saturday, Portland and Memphis will tip off in a game that starts at 11:30 in the morning, Portland time, but 2:30 Eastern time. If the Blazers win that game, they automatically advance to take on the Lakers in that 8-1 matchup in the Western Conference bracket. If Memphis wins on Saturday, they will play again on Sunday, and that will be the winner-take-all game. So Portland has to win once. Memphis would have to win twice. Either way, you earn a date with the Lakers. That's pretty exciting. I like what Jacques Vaughn had to say about going to a box and one and about the play of Damian Lillard.
He's changing the game. The ability to cross half court and shoot the basketball with ease and accuracy, you give him a lot of credit. So it's, to me, I enjoy watching it. I enjoy the challenge of preparing for it.
No doubt. It's not easy, but it's a good challenge for a coach who has that type of a strategic mind. So kind of the chess match back and forth, and to see him go to a box and one. Now, he didn't contain Lillard, but it was definitely a unique way to defend him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Here's what we know about the rest of the NBA playoff schedule. Begins Monday with Utah and Denver. Then it's Brooklyn and Toronto in the second game. The defending champs will finally have a chance to dial it up when it comes to protecting their turf. You've got Philadelphia and Boston, third game of that quadruple header, and it's finished, or it's wrapped up with the Mavericks and the Clippers, which is the 2-7 matchup in the West. So that's Monday's slate. And again, the games start at 1:30 Eastern, which is 10:30 in the morning on the West Coast. On Tuesday, it's Orlando, Milwaukee, Indiana, Miami, Houston, Oklahoma City, and from the category of you can't make this stuff up, Chris Paul will get a chance to face the Houston Rockets after they traded him away in exchange for Russell Westbrook, who isn't expected to start the playoff run with Houston. So he's dealing with some injuries. And so that's just, it's fascinating because James Harden is playing extremely well. And here is Chris Paul with everything to gain by having that revenge opportunity against his former team. And then the Lakers will play in that last game on Tuesday. And again, they await the winner of the Portland-Memphis series. So the playoffs officially start Monday, but we get the wrinkle in time Saturday and potentially Sunday as well. In the NHL, we are going full tilt already, and there's so much sudden death, it's hard to keep up with it all.
Taves on it for Chicago. Sends it out. Kubalik tips it to center. Vegas has the puck. McNabb ahead. Tipped across the line by Nick Cousins. Toward the left circle and now toward the left corner. In front of shot. They score! Golden Knights in overtime. Riley Smith wins it for Vegas. 4-3 Golden Knights.
What an incredible performance by the Vegas Golden Knights. And they were pushed. They were really pushed to the brink there by the Blackhawks in game two. But so far in Edmonton, so far in their hub, including the seeding games, the Golden Knights have scored 23 goals in five games, 23 goals. They have not lost. They obviously have gotten an incredible performance from Riley Smith so far against Chicago. He had two goals and an assist in the series opener and then had the game-winning goal as well as another assist in that matchup, that game two matchup on Thursday. They will play again on Saturday. A lot of the other series now, they're looking at even Steven. How about the Bruins and the Hurricanes? That one is now knotted at one and a bit of a question mark there. So the Bruins and Canes were also tied. This one was late in the third period. Dougie Hamilton broke the tie, but the Bruins are playing without their star forward, David Pastrnak, who's their leading scorer in the regular season. He was deemed unfit to play on Thursday. He's a game time decision for Saturday. And they've already logged a lot of minutes going back to that double overtime game they played on Wednesday. So they had to go Wednesday, Thursday, and Pastrnak did not play, but is now just day to day, really. And that's the issue. Yes, they had a lot of time off, but that's the issue with the fact that these games are every other day now in the postseason. There's not a whole lot of time for them to recover. So he was in the stands for Thursday's Bruins Canes game, and he was wearing a mask, and he was wearing sweats, and they got a lot of veteran guys on that roster, but he is able to do so much damage and just gives them another option. So that's just a snippet of what's happening in the NBA and the NHL, and we're asking you which series you're most looking forward to. Excited to see this weekend and how it plays out. And this is kind of the hot and heavy that we usually get in April. And instead, now we're getting it in August. Fine, I'm adjusting. I keep reminding myself what month it is. Also, we're expecting to see the St. Louis Cardinals back on the field finally on Saturday. They were supposed to, I guess. They were hoping they could play on Friday, just like they were hoping they could play Friday a week ago. They've been off for more than 2 weeks. I mean, their season has essentially been jettisoned unless they're going to play doubleheaders every single day until they run out of pitchers, right? And so I still, because of that, cannot believe that the two Indians pitchers even tried anything. If you haven't seen Zach Plesac on Instagram, it's interesting. It's a bit of a redirect. It's like a defense attorney attempting to point the finger and the blame somewhere else. And so he thinks it's the media's fault for blowing it out of proportion. Not sure how that says I'm sorry to your teammates when you then turn around and blame the media for making a bigger deal of it than it is.
We broke curfew. I came back late.
It's definitely a big deal. I mean, your own teammates are pissed at you for lying and sneaking out and putting them all at risk. And I mean, one of your fellow pitchers is telling you to act like a grown-ass man. So, you know, drama everywhere. As I say, delicious, like a soap opera. Coming up, it's real life stuff for college football athletes and really college athletes across the board as they've had cancellations thrown at them and they have to make new choices and there aren't a lot of answers to the questions. That's what 2020 is all about. Questions that have no answers and emotions running high. We had a chance to catch up with former Ohio State linebacker, national champ Joshua Perry. Asked him some pointed questions about not just the Big Ten, but about spring football and about whether or not the right call was made. And so I want to share a portion of that interview with all of you. We'll do that when we come back. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Kevin Dexter.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Possible blitz being shown by the Badgers. Fields with the ball. Back to throw. Looking left, looking middle of the field, fires middle of the field, and it's caught at the 5, and dancing into the end zone goes Ohio State's receiver, K.J. Hill, on a touchdown pass of 16 yards as he weaved his way through the Badger defense, and Ohio State has their first lead of the night, 23-21.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Paul Keels, Learfield IMG College, the Ohio State radio network. Going to be a much quieter fall with none of that college football pomp and circumstance from the Big Ten or the Pac-12 and a number of other conferences. There still are a few that are hanging on. I'm holding out hope, but it's different. That's for sure. It won't be a fall like we've ever had before. Many other fall sports championships have been canceled as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook, and a lot of you weighing in with the playoff series you're excited about in August. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on your car, motorcycle, and RV policies. It's on top of what Geico already saves you when you switch. Visit geico.com to learn more. Earlier, we had the chance to catch up with former Ohio State linebacker Joshua Perry, who's now with the Big Ten Network. And it was a great conversation. We talked for nearly 20 minutes, and he was so gracious with his time and his insight. And I want to bring back part of that conversation because he answered some tough questions. Even those that don't have answers, we tried to get through some of the details. Now, he played for Urban Meyer, so we'll pick it up where I asked him in response to what Urban Meyer said about spring football. His former coach's two words were no chance. So I asked Joshua his reaction to the idea of moving football to the spring.
There are very few things that I like about a spring football situation. From a player safety standpoint, if canceling fall football was about player safety in the coronavirus pandemic, then you're facing a different player safety issue in the spring, because you're gonna basically go back to back on two seasons. You could make a case that all the anticipation of things that will change about the pandemic won't change by the time they start a spring season. Testing might not be better. The actual state of the pandemic might not be better. All these things. And then you're asking players to play more games in basically the same type of calendar year situation. And I think that's a really difficult undertaking. I also think that student athletes are so used to their schedules being lighter in the winter and in the spring compared to the fall.
Right.
So academically, they're able to get ahead, and they typically take more classes in that spring semester. If you add another season, it's probably going to put players back academically, and that's a big deal since they are student athletes. And then the other thing is it's hard for anybody to convince me that a spring season is going to actually matter. Like, I don't know if anybody's really going to give a damn about a t-shirt that says 2021 spring football national champions. they're not probably going to give out a Heisman trophy. Are they going to do all American honors, all conference national awards, all that kind of stuff? And if the answer is no, then why even risk it and go out there and play? Let's put all of our chips in on playing fall football a year from now.
Joshua Perry is now with the Big Ten Network as an analyst. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Obviously, this is it's most devastating for the seniors. It's so hard to stomach. Do you stay in school another year simply for football? A lot of seniors are already planning on graduating and working on jobs and careers, which is hard enough in the climate that we're in. Heck, it's hard enough in any climate to come out of school and get a job. So if you were a senior in this situation, what would you be thinking about?
It's hard. I couldn't even imagine. Like, I heard a story about a player from the University of Michigan who actually dropped a class last year so he could have one class to take this semester to maintain his eligibility for a fifth year. And now to be in this situation where he might not even get to play that out is ridiculous. Mm. And you're absolutely right. It's a question of, do you come back and try to play because you're trying to put, your best material out there on tape so you can get to the NFL? Do you try to play just for the love of the game and it might be your last opportunity? Do you call it quits and then try to get into this coronavirus job market, which is struggling for a lot of people, let alone recent college grads? It's really hard to plan and forecast already with all the questions, and now you throw this extra variable in there. And senior year is supposed to be one of those that you remember, and it's supposed to, kind of put a nice, beautiful little bow on a career that was probably filled with adversity and challenges along the way. And then to really sprinkle this in, I know that's not going to be the way that these seniors want to remember their last year of college football.
You went through the draft process. Could you imagine having done that without the ability to play in your final year or to go through whether it's combines or workouts or the option of being in front of scouts in person as opposed to tape?
The last year of tape for me was absolutely huge. And it was the combination of all the things that you just said, and I'm sure that they'll figure a way to do that. But the reality of the situation is, if these players can't get a good enough number of games on tape for their last year, it could be a detriment to them. And Joe Burrow tweeted it, the quarterback who played at LSU went number one in the draft. He was a guy who was on his last year, and that was the year that really made him Joe Burrow the household name. If he wasn't able to play his senior year, he said that he would probably be looking for a job right now. And there are going to be players that are really defined by their last year, and it's not to say that they're going to be the first overall pick in the draft, but it's going to put them in a position to live out their dream and to make a ton of money, to set their families up and to change their family tree. And that's what you feel bad about, is the missed opportunities here that you can't get back. And football is such a finite game with a short window, and every play matters, every year matters. And, it's evaporating away from some of these players, and they're rightfully frustrated, and as fans were frustrated too, because a lot of us wanted to see some of our favorite players who are 4 or 5 year guys go out the right way, and we won't get to see that.
Just out of curiosity, because you were in this environment, so was I, although it was a long time ago. But what kind of faith do you have in athletes having them actually stick to the type of protocols that would be required for this to work? How much confidence do you have that athletes will stick to those protocols?
That's a really good question. Athletes are known for having extreme restraint and being able to do some things that take an immense amount of discipline.
True.
We've seen athletes change their bodies in a short amount of time. We've seen them strive to do better and better. We've also seen athletes do really, really dumb things that you would think in the position that they're in, they wouldn't make those mistakes. And so I feel like it's really a toss-up, and it goes probably to the culture of the teams more than anything else. But like a scenario I see that's realistic is the third-string quarterback for these conferences that are playing, or let's say the third-string linebacker who's not on the travel team, you know, is that person not going to go out to a campus bar or a party over the weekend while the team is on the away game and then come back and potentially spread COVID through his team? Mm-hmm. That's a realistic situation. Maybe it's more benign than that. Maybe it's you're sitting in math class and somebody, you know, down south where maybe they're a little bit less restrictive, somebody decides they don't want to wear a mask when they're walking around campus, and as you're walking to math class, you know, somebody sneezes and they get droplets in your face, and next thing you know, you've contracted the coronavirus. I feel like it's a really, really hard situation to estimate, and that's the biggest challenge here. We'll see in the next couple of months what really happens, but there are a lot of variables here, and I feel like it could get a little bit out of control quickly if certain things don't go right.
So then when you see the split in the Power Five and you've got the Pac-12 and the Big Ten for whatever reasons deciding not to move forward, but these other three who are already, the other three of the Power Five, already going through the protocols and the practices and getting ready and trying, which one do you think was the right path?
Well, I'm a try kind of guy. I would have loved to have seen all the resources, all the effort put into trying, but I also feel like some of this is a little bit of a charade. It's a little bit of performance. And what I mean by that is you'll listen to Commissioner Sankey for the SEC talk about they're going to try and they're going to exhaust all their resources and they're going to explore every option to play. But then he follows that exact statement up by saying, but I'm not sure that we'll play this fall. Hmm. And so what I'm getting at is if he knew that they were going to play or he was confident, he would express that level of confidence. He's putting doubt in there just to try to prepare. Now, I feel like the tone of these conversations and the language has been lost among a lot of people. When the Big Ten released their schedule, it was very noncommittal. It was, if we play the season, this is how we're going to play it. And that right. was Kevin Warren's tone the whole way. Athletic director for Ohio State, Gene Smith, was the same way. And all of that to say that they could be doing all this trying, and I'm glad that they are. But at the end of the day, I don't even know if they're very confident in their ability to pull it off. So we might look back in a couple of months and say, you know, Big Ten might have called it early, but they made the right decision. We could look back. And they're going to go all ahead, and we're going to say, all right, well, Big Ten, you fumbled this one, and we don't know what the consequences will be for that.
Former Ohio State linebacker, Big Ten analyst, now Joshua Perry with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. You were part of a national championship squad with Ohio State. When you hear that there may still be a championship among the schools that are remaining, what's your reaction?
Oh, it chaps me so hard because this was a team, and last year they made it to the semifinal, and it was a very funky game. They were a few plays away from being able to compete in a national championship. Clemson got the best of them. And this is a year where if you ask anybody who follows college football, if you ask any of the analysts, any of the insiders, they were predicting Ohio State versus Clemson national championship. So it would have been the rematch that everybody wanted. It would have been an opportunity for my alma mater to really go out there and to become a championship team. It's so disappointing that opportunity is taken away, because even though Ohio State is a competitor year in and year out, it's hard to win the championship.
Right.
And so when you feel like you have the roster that's in place and, you know, just it doesn't come together, and it's not because somebody got hurt, it's not because they just didn't play well enough, it's because they didn't have a damn chance to play.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hardest part about all of this is it's not the trying and failing. It's not having the chance to try. And that's the part that has no recourse there for these athletes. And it's not just these athletes. I mean, think about the other athletes, March Madness and the other spring sports that were canceled. And then think about some of the pro athletes who have missed opportunities and events that have been canceled that they won't have a chance to make up. So it's different when you get paid to play, and certainly it's your choice and that's your career. But yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean you don't agree with the decision. Just means that your heart hurts and your emotions are roiling over how painful this must be. There's more with Joshua Perry. He was really good. He has spoken to a bunch of Ohio State players because he just graduated in 15, and he had some insight about them as well and about why maybe the Big Ten jumped the gun instead of waiting until it had a little more time to try a plan or pushing back the season. So please check out that conversation on our podcast, afterhoursamielawrence.com, both our Twitter and our Facebook. We'll put that out there for you. And so you can check out our social media and grab it as well. I mentioned a long, 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 long streak that may not be replicated anytime soon. Well, congratulations to Coach Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs. They just saw their 22-year playoff streak come to an end. And it was tied for the longest in NBA history. The longest all-time in pro sports is in the NHL. Going back to the Bruins, this is your nerd alert for the Friday morning, the last one. Going back to the Bruins, 29 consecutive seasons in the Stanley Cup playoffs from the late 60s into the mid-90s. But in the NBA, 22 years in a row. In fact, the last time the Spurs did not make the playoffs was 97 when they drafted Tim Duncan, number one overall.
Oh, boo-hoo. Like, ugh.
That's so mean, Joe. Anyway, we've been asking you about which playoff series you're most looking forward to. A lot of you are saying Lakers and Blazers. Now, remember, the Blazers aren't in it yet, but I do agree that that would be a fantastic series. And a bunch of you are pointing to the various series in the NHL. Jim says, love your show. Vancouver versus St. Louis. Young talent, first-time playoffs for most athletes. First in 5 years for the Canucks versus the defending Stanley Cup champion, Blues. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about. Stanley Cup continuing through the weekend, NBA picking up on Monday, and I'm glad to see so many of you are getting into it. I know it's weird. I know it's atypical, but it's better than nothing at all. We'll talk to you again on Sunday night. Have a great weekend. Thanks again for all your sweet messages about my Grammy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, boo-hoo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.